Mutual presents Arch Obler's Plays. The Mutual Broadcasting System has the pleasure of presenting the 13th broadcast of a special 26-week series of plays by radio playwright Arch Obler. In this series, we hope to bring you dramas full of the excitement and the meaning of plays told in relation to the expanding world we live in. Arch Obler has something to tell you about tonight's play.
Last week, we told you tonight would bring you a comedy about the big shots, the holy moguls of our world. Well, that play just didn't last. Instead, here, and with much pleasure in the bringing, is that fine character actor, Morris Karnofsky, in a play about Dr. Bluff.
Talking to himself out loud, he's crazy. All right, I'm crazy, crazy, crazy. No, I can't keep on talking like this. But I must, I must. The simple things in your head isn't enough. You've got to talk them, put them into words, give them in your ears. How could so much happen in these 2 hours?
Yes, it's only 2 hours. 12 o'clock, and it started at 10. Now it's 12, a minute two.
No, 12. Exactly, 2 hours. So much in 2 hours.
Yes, better to talk out loud. Talk out for 2 hours.
How was it? At 10, I came into my office. Private door. Miss Cooper said...
Good morning, Doctor.
Just as always? Good morning, Doctor. Just as always. Reception room filled. Everything fine. In my private office, chrome, tile, walnut furniture. $5,000 cash is costing.
Doctor's office is important, Doctor Burton. The finest doctor's offices in all America.
I sat down in my office. I remember I buzzed Miss Cooper.
Yes, Doctor Burton?
I said, and what little gems of sickness have you today, Miss Cooper?
Quite a full morning, Doctor. Mrs. Smith Warren, Mrs. Esther Lawrence, utility Lawrence's. We have brand new cases, including that Catherine Taylor, Mrs. Porter, phoned about. Or you can go to Greg. He told her to come back in 2 weeks. And
what? Kept on talking about this patient, that patient. All at once,
yes.
I heard another voice in the room. There was only Miss Cooper, and yet I heard another voice.
You're looking smug, as usual, Dr. Duff.
Miss Cooper!
How did the doctor?
No. He said something.
What? Why, yes, of course. He was telling you about the patient.
He said something else. You did?
No, no, Doctor.
I
was telling you about the patient.
I heard you.
Really, I didn't say anything. I
heard about the patient. The testicle vigorously convincing me. Let her go. Kill this thing, that's what I thought. Good morning, Dr. Bluff. I heard it so clearly. Well, no magic. The first patient?
Dr. Drayton, dear, dear Dr. Drayton, you must help me listen to my heart is palpitating again. I know it, I know it. Yes, and it's getting the palpitations. I hear them. I feel them.
An infernal woman talking, talking. And while she was talking, suddenly I heard so clearly.
I'm drinking too much. You drink, Dr. Drayton. No, it's because you want not drink. But you don't get cash from me. A check, and that's no good until Joe comes through with that alimony. Maybe I won't pay you at all. Then it's just a trip. Need a trip. Amen.
Jump to my feet. Slam the bell.
What is it, Dr. Gibson?
No one in the room but you.
Oh, the doctor got me where it's wrong.
I heard you. Yes, while you were talking.
Doctor, what on earth is
this? No one here but you and I. No one.
Oh, doctor, that's in my heart.
You
fight
all. No, no,
I heard it most distinctly. While she'd been talking, another voice talking. Her voice. No, not quite like her voice, and yet her voice. I got rid of her somehow. Another patient?
Yes, yes, I'm back, Doctor. After that atrocious thing you sent me, I couldn't come back, but here I am. You may examine me.
It is Smith Warren, old crow, sickness of living too long. Started to examine. And then I heard.
No good.
Again, another voice.
Oh, good, Forrest.
Adrian was sitting there, not talking, and yet I heard.
What is wrong, Doctor?
Her lips weren't moving.
Looks like your hands.
What I was hearing.
Old hands like hands.
What?
Strange. Brown flashes.
What was in her mind?
A younger man.
What she was thinking?
A younger man, to make me forget.
What she was thinking? What was it?
the voice, the thoughts in her mind. That was it. The other voices, thoughts in the minds of the others. That's what I heard. It was incredible. Impossible. The thoughts in the mind of another was I losing my mind. I remember I called the nurse back. She came into the room. As she came closer to the desk, I heard.
All right. What's the trouble now, Dr. Bluff?
You hadn't said a word, and yet I heard.
What's the trouble now, Dr. Bluff?
I said, Cooper, did you think...
Oh, no, Doctor.
Been hitting the bottle again, Dr. Bluff?
Stop whispering!
I haven't said anything. I haven't said anything.
It was true. It was true. She hadn't spoken. I knew it. But I said...
Don't you lie to me. I heard you.
You're drunk, little man. You are drunk.
How dare you? I'm not drunk. How dare you say that?
And I said, not drunk. The face went white, as if the blood in her head turned to water. Her mouth opened. She wouldn't say anything. And yet, I heard.
How did you know?
I kept on hearing.
I didn't speak. I didn't. She knows what I saw. Knows that I said Dr. Bluff.
What? What?
Doctor!
I heard you! Doctor! 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 Yes, their voices. Yes, true. The thoughts in their minds. It rushed into the room.
Oh, Doctor.
Dr. Drake?
Dear Doctor, am I next?
Dear Dr. Drake.
I've been so impatient, Doctor.
But the other things I was hearing.
That little man.
How long?
I sat in my office, alone, all of them gone, my breath was sat.
Madness.
I just sat in my office, afraid to think.
Madness.
Horrible word, frightening word, even to think of it. It wasn't true, it wasn't. Yes, my mind was strangely sensitized to what people thought.
Why not?
Reason it out, talk it out. Yes, if I could tell someone, explain. Fred. Yes, Fred Kendall. Good old Fred. I called him. Yes, good old Fred.
Hello? Is Dr. Kendall in? Yes, I want to talk to him. Dr. Drayton, hurry. Hello? Fred? This is Emily Drayton. Listen, Fred, come over right away. It's of the utmost importance. Yes, of the utmost importance.
Good old Fred, best friend Fred, a good doctor, didn't make much money, not my class, but a good man, sensible, understanding.
Well, Emily, what is it?
Nothing too important, I hope. A drink, Fred?
I have a number of calls to make, Emily. Would you mind telling me that?
Yes, of course, Fred. I suppose I should preface it all with this. At school, ever since... I've always had a great deal of respect for you. If I hadn't been able to do anything materially, it's only been through force of circumstances.
All right, Dr. Bluff.
You said
nothing?
You said nothing.
Wait, Dr. Bluff, what are your thoughts?
No, don't say that.
What?
What's the matter with you, Emily?
I thought... Listen, who said, do you think it possible for a man, to say, well, I have a patient. He believes he can hear the thoughts of people around him.
Say what you're up to, Dr. Bluff.
Dr. Bluff, I heard him think it again, the same words the nurse. I said,
Fred, are you listening to me?
Why, of course I am. I get so excited about
Dr. Bluff. Would he stop saying it? And why was he saying it?
No, I think you're the thought in his mind. Keep on talking. Get his opinion. It wasn't madness. It wasn't. I had to know.
Now, look here, Emily. This is my busy morning. I'm an unimportant practitioner, I know. But believe me, people are ill in my borough.
I'm trying to tell you. This patient, as I was saying, thinks he hears voices. That is, the thoughts of people around him.
You're even more stupid than I thought, Dr. Bluff. Don't you even know paranoia when you see it?
Paranoia? I heard him say it. No, it wasn't true. Not madness. I was hearing his thoughts. Same, and I was hearing his thoughts.
Aloud, he said, "Look, why consult me on this, Emily? I'm none of your gilded psychiatrists. Come to the point. Why did you send for me?"
"Well, well, talk up, Dr. Bluff. What's up your dirty sleeve? Why?"
He waited for me to speak. I began thinking that if I kept talking about it, this patient hearing thing in his head, he'd begin to suspect me. He'd think I was crazy. He'd go out and tell the people that...
No. You are clever, aren't you, Fred? Yes, yes. I had a rational reason for sending for you. Yes, indeed. I've neglected you, Fred. I want you to help me here on an obstruction case. Good. Just see, Fred. I'll see that you get there. Just...
And all the time I kept talking to him, I could hear him thinking,
"Dr. Bluff, dear obnoxious infantile Dr. Bluff, you're in a jam. I know it. You want my help. Do you ever cure anything worse than a case of sniffles without help, Dr. Bluff?"
I could hear him.
Dr. Bluff. How much last year? $40,000, $50,000. I make 10, you make 50. If you're a pimple yet, Dr. Bluff, how's Mr. Needs? How soon do you start telling me how wonderful you are, Dr. Bluff?
I began to realize he was making fun of me, and just thought that it couldn't be true.
Not Herb. He respected me. Dr. Bluff.
No, that name. Why should Miss Cooper, why should they call me that name?
Dr. Emery C. Drayton.
Respected.
The respected Dr. Emery C. Drayton.
Always respected.
Office, Park Avenue.
Listen to these best in the city.
Waiting list to pay.
Of course. Always respected.
$53,359.42.
Yes. All that money, they paid the money because they respected me.
Yes. Facts were facts.
Dr. Bluff.
What did we see in that? He's jealous of me. The man was jealous of my success. Telephone rang as I was sitting there.
Medical association meeting at noon, Doctor. Just remind you.
Medical meeting at noon? Oh, yes. I'd go there. My colleague, pleasant, charming. Fred Kendall, he'd upset me. His jealousy upset me. I'd go to the meeting. Calm down, I thought. Poor, unsuccessful Fred with his grubby little orders and his grubby little patients. Let him be jealous. I had what I had. Money, position, respect. Poor, jealous Fred. Laughing at him, I almost forgot about the thoughts. I forgot until I went out of the office into the elevator.
Going down, Doc?
Went into the elevator. Only passengers.
How was
me, Fathead? I wasn't sure that I heard.
Say your hot stuff and ingrown toenails, Doc. $25 a crack.
How dare you!
He didn't know what I was yelling about. He thought I'd come crazy. The street. My car at the curb. Chauffeur. My patient was the same, my excitement. Chauffeur said,
"Is there something wrong, Doc?"
"My dear, it isn't. Medical car."
"Yes, sir."
In the auto, riding down, so confused, everything so confused.
How dare they think of me that way? How dare they coop up there, those women that are fooling the elevator and none of my ability important? How dare they talk like that?
As he drove around, I realized I wasn't hearing thoughts.
The hallucination broke. I was free. I felt fine. What I've been enduring. All right, forget it, I told myself. Don't think about it.
Got to the medical club. Late. Hurried into the room where the meeting was to be held. Room full of men.
I'm calling. Oh, fine men. Substantial men. Best practices. Good freedom. Dr. Strauss and Dr. Ellingson and Dr. Edwards and Dr. Chester. Oh, all of the best men in town. No petty jealousies there. Up the bracket, men. Fine men.
I went in. Empty chair, Mr. Strauss. Good man. Practice worth 30,000 years. It's worth a cent. I said,
"Oh,
he looked up at me. More glistening, clever eyes of man looking at me. I said,
"Mind if I put my challenge up to you?"
And then, something in my head. I heard
So can I help myself?
Dr. Bluff. I'm hearing that it's happening again. Give me talk.
So are you standing there with your mouth open like a goldfish? Sit down, Dr. Bluff.
Dr. Bluff. Scott, two short years. Aloud, he said,
well, so this will be a lot less, Dr. Drake. Don't stand there. Sit down, Drake. You're too late to eat, but not late enough for the speaker.
I couldn't speak. I sat down, looked around me, could hear the murmur of their voices, and above their voices, that other sound. The horse in them. Someone down the table called.
Greetings, Father Drayton.
Dr. Bartman, good man, fine practice.
How did that gentleman come to lecture me, Dr. Drayton?
I heard my voice say,
fine, fine.
Then I heard.
Did you use a hacksaw, Dr. Bluff?
Who held your hand while you did it, Dr. Bluff?
Sure it was the council you took out, Dr. Bluff? Sure it wasn't the thyroid of the blood?
No.
They couldn't be thinking like that of me. Not these men.
Did your nurse operate for you?
I'm going to write a book about it, Bluff, eh?
Where are the funeral services, Dr. Bluff?
Is it true you split
his ear with your bushes?
It's true. They were thinking that of me. And they stopped. The chairman, the speaker of the bill.
And so, gentlemen, I ask your attention for a few well-chosen words from our distinguished guest. The head of the County Research Hospital is Dr. Franz Simmons. Dr. Jennings.
Jennings, great man. Got up, caught my eye, smiled. I hardly heard him begin. In my head, the people have been taken. It couldn't be true.
Gentlemen, this is the first time that I have addressed your luncheon club because, frankly, the medical profession, like most professions, is afflicted with too much thought and too little action. Too many medical men thought research, too few practice it. The result, as far as original work in the science of medicine is concerned, is that the sum total of research in this city is smaller than the meat course you just served me for lunch. You men represent the elite of the medical profession in this community. The elite, presumably intellectually as well as, unfortunately, from a financial standpoint. I coupled the word financial with unfortunately because most of you, as soon as you started making money, substituted golf clubs for scalpels and tennis rackets for test tubes. Where few of you, therefore, I say, and those few know who they are, I say, spend a little time in between collecting fees and research. It may not pay off in duplex apartments, but believe me, you'll find satisfactions beyond price. Others of you here, well, I'm very happy for all of us that you do stay away from the laboratories. You are doctors the way a man is a salesman or a broker or a truck driver. So much time spent for so much money. You give a service and you're paid. And that is all. And that is all right.
Then he looked down the long table at me.
Others of you, you shouldn't have bothered becoming doctors. Floor walkers, yes. Managers of ladies' dress shops. Yes, but not doctors.
He's talking about Dr. Bluff.
I've heard someone think that.
There is a place in the medical profession for both the idealist and for the materialist, but not for the incompetent fool, the thought who does not diagnose properly, nor does he cure. Yet, Hippocrates in all his glory never was more sanctimoniously self-important.
Old Dr. Bluff. Another one at the table thinking that.
They squeezed through a medical education by the grace of God, a glib tongue, and soft-hearted examiners. They build up a practice by politics, charming manners, and a colossal ability to bluff.
Dr. Bluff.
Eventually, success. An interior decorated office on the best avenue, a streamlined office girl, and a vacuum mind. I tell you, gentlemen, I'm
not bluffing.
Dr. Bluff. Dr. Bluff. Dr. Bluff.
I could hear them laughing at me. No, they couldn't. Laughing at me. Their faces so serious, listening to the speaker, but in their minds laughing at me, all of them. At me, Emily Drayton. I didn't know the sound of it in my ears. Staring at me. They couldn't be doing this to me. I was a doctor with a head white and laughing. Stop laughing. I couldn't exist. I couldn't.
Stop! You! Stop it, Drake! Stop! Stop!
Stop! Stop! Stop! Stop! Stop! Stop! Stop! Stop! Stop! What happened? Well, it was true. It was true. I was me. $175 suit, fat face, fine office, but I was nothing, nothing. All my lunch, nothing. Only you enough to make money with bluff. Dr. Bluff. All right, I've your bluff. All right, all right. So I came here. Home. Dr. Bluff had this to me. The wife. So I came home. Home. Traffic. I had to keep traffic. You come downstairs. You have to go out. You look down at me. Her face filled with surprise. I looked up at her and my mother. Wanted to speak. Couldn't. So young. So lovely. She came close. She was lovely. I heard.
You're home early. You look sick. I'm sick of you. Sick. Maybe you'll die.
She looks something bad. Kathy, thinking that. Maybe you'll die. Maybe you'll die. Maybe you'll die. Maybe you'll die. You're crying, Dr. Glover. Pretty late to cry. She's late even to talk to yourself. Why should she love you, Dr. Bluff? A bluff at work, a bluff at love. Bluff, 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 bluff. What a horrible thing for a man to hear what people think of her.
Poor Daddy.
Who said that? Who? Who's out there in the hall? Who's out there?
I'm sorry, Doctor. Just taking the baby out for a walk.
No, 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 wait. I heard her. I heard her.
Oh, no, Doctor, believe me. She didn't make a sound. It's such a good sound.
Make her with a car, with her hand. I want her.
But, Doctor, you never...
Give me my car, I tell you.
But, Doctor, you never... She's afraid of me. I mean...
Go on, go!
She's afraid of me.
Please. Give me your hand. You're not afraid of your father.
No.
That's a good girl. Come in here. Your father wants to talk to you.
All right.
Will you sit down?
Listen to that, please.
All right. Not very large. I was... How old are you? 3, 4? Sorry, I've forgotten.
I'm 5 years old.
I haven't seen you very often. Been too busy. Why do you look at me like that? What are you thinking?
Poor Daddy.
You said that aloud this time. What you're thinking, I can't hear it. I can't hear it anymore.
Don't frighten me, Daddy.
No, no, I don't want to frighten you. It's gone. Gone again. And for good. I can't hear what people think. I know now I won't ever hear it.
Please, Daddy.
No, no, I won't frighten you. Believe me.
Poor Daddy.
Why do you say it?
Daddy, I'm tired.
Yes, I am tired. I am. It's been such a strange day.
Poor Daddy.
You like me?
I like you very much.
Why? Why?
Because of that truth. My
birthday.
My pretty
bird. Yes, it is a pretty bird. The story of the happy kitten.
And the first picture, Daddy.
Yes. Once upon a time, long ago, there lived a king, a very happy king, who had horses and boats and everything in the world.
Daddy?
What?
Did he have everything in the world? Everything?
That's what the book says.
But he had everything. What have you got, Daddy?
I've got $53,439 and...
Daddy, what did you say?
I've got... I've got
it.
I've got a book of fairy stories.
Yes.
A book of fairy stories. And you...
Just heard Dr. Bluff, a play by Art Obler. The leading role is taken by Mr. Morris Carnacki. Included in the cast in the order of their appearance were Olive Byrne, Mary Jane Frost, Bertha Scott, Barbara Eiler, Gloria Blondell, Lorraine Tuttle, Everett Allen, Bruce Elliott, Bill Christie, and Rodolphe Von Elf, Earl Ross, and Norman Wilson. The music was composed and conducted by Jack Meekin. Next week, a new play written especially for radio. This will be the 14th of special series of plays. Written, produced, and directed for the Future Broadcasting System by Arch Obler. To conclude the program, Jack Meekin conducts the orchestra in excerpts from his original composition, Memoir. Mm-hmm.